time to recap McCook City Council meeting number one for the month of October in our studios. The mayor is here, Linda Taylor. How you doing, Linda?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Goodness.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Good to see you once again. City Manager Nate Schneider is busy already. It's already started, hasn't it?
It's a Tuesday, so once you roll out of Monday and the council meetings on Monday, then you can actually start getting to work on some of the other things that you need to get done. So, it's going to be a busy day, but that's a good thing. We just keep on moving our feet and keep moving forward.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Well, let's get to the agenda for last night. It was kind of a light one, wasn't it?
It was.
Which is fine.
Yeah. We finished up the budget ordinances at the last council meeting. And we had a lot of other things that we were working through at that time, airport stuff and some other things. And so this one didn't have quite as much on there, but there were some important things that were still discussed. And the big thing that we had was our conversation with Matt Stoffel over at PFM. They are our financial advisors, if you will, with respect to our utilities, water and sewer. And we've been looking at our water and sewer rates, trying to figure out the best way to make sure that we make it as fair as possible as we can for all the water users and sewer users throughout the city of McCook. And we had contracted with Matt and PFM to actually run a calculation to see what might be the best method for us to implement moving forward. We have a declining block rate, which means that the larger users typically receive after they pay their service fee and then they use their first 5,000 cubic feet of water, they're paying a lesser amount than what those people are paying at that 5,000 cubic feet amount. And so what we're trying to figure out is, do we make an adjustment on those higher users to assure that the people that are using a little bit less and in some cases conserving or whatever the case may be, that they are maybe paying a lower rate. So we just ran some numbers. We looked at some data last night. No decisions were made. This was just basically a conversation. A lot of states require larger users to pay more because they're trying to encourage efficiency. And so that's one of the things that the state of Nebraska does not mandate, but one of the things that could potentially happen here in the future. So we went through, we read the data, we looked at all the different valve sizes, meter sizes, tried to get a good feel for how many users we have at each size of meter. At the bottom end, we're at 5/8. At the top end, we're at 6 inches. There aren't very many users. Those are your heavy industrial users. And then we saw how much the heavy industrial users were using compared to the 5/8 inch and the smaller users. And it does kind of make you look at it and say, okay, maybe there are some ways that we can make some adjustments to assure that everybody is being treated as fairly as possible. And so continue to work on. We'll move forward. We'll get recommendations from PFM. Obviously, we want to be cognizant of the fact that we want to encourage efficient use, but also we don't want to scare anybody away either. And so those are the two things that you always are looking at, that juxtaposition. You have to figure out how to work around that. So we'll continue to talk about it, and we'll bring this back to the council here as we get more data and get a plan kind of developed moving forward.
Anything on announcements and recognitions last night?
Just the planning commission. I got a planning commission meeting on Monday.
All right. Yep. And we talked about the presentation. That was after that. I got a proclamation this week, Fire Prevention Week.
Our fire chief came in and talked to us about that. The big thing is we have the household hazardous waste for batteries, and people don't realize how batteries can create fires. So he has suggested that everybody take their batteries down there, and they have two containers down there. You can either have damaged or undamaged batteries and put them in those containers. And then he also talked about the fact that they go around to the schools and talk about fire prevention, and they see over 800 children and visit with them about how they can prevent fires in their home. So we did a proclamation for Fire Prevention Week.
Yep, we need to get Mr. Harpam in on our open line program. We always talk about that. Of course, Billy Cole is in charge of household hazardous. I think she's one of the ones in charge down there, isn't
yes.
she?
Correct.
Yes. Yep. With Red Willow Western Rural Fire Department, yes.
And I wanted to make sure, too, Mark had made mention of the fact that James Slayton serves as our public information coordinator, and he does a great job of getting our fire department to the schools to meet with the kids. He's just got such a great positive attitude and is a fun person to be around. And so doesn't get a lot of recognition, but wanted to tell James he does a fantastic job.
Yeah, I know James. We need to get him on the airwaves a little bit, too, don't you think?
James would be a great interview.
Oh, without a doubt.
Great guy. Yeah, there's some really good guys over there that would be fun to interview. I think you'd have a good time with
them. Yeah, you betcha. You've got me thinking now, Nate, on that one. You betcha. All right, consent agenda. Anything pulled for the consent agenda?
No, we approved the consent agenda in one motion.
Wow. And that was a good 10 items or so, wasn't it?
It was.
Anything of discussion you want to bring up?
Nothing crazy. Just a lot of housekeeping items. I always like to go ahead and say thanks to people that serve on our boards. We had some reappointments. Andrew Headkey was reappointed to the Building and Housing Code Advisory and Appeals Board. We have Allison Martz that's going to serve on the Library Advisory Board. On the Parks Advisory Board, we're reappointing Jeremy Labrie. Kelly Hamerlin is going to sit on the Planning Commission, and I appreciate his expertise. He actually served on the Chase County Planning Commission, and so he has a pretty good idea of what he's stepping into, which is fantastic. And then on the Senior Citizen Advisory Board, Jan Breezy and Tom Stewart were appointed. So we appreciate all those people serving. And a couple other things that we had, we approved the bid specifications for the mobile in-car video camera systems, which would include the body-worn cameras. That was one of the things that Chief Hodgson wanted to prioritize during this last budget season. We also approved the bid specs for a full-size half-ton crew cab, four-wheels drive SUV or truck. And we try to change those out. We try to at least bring in one a year to make sure that our fleet is in good standing. Our biggest concern is if you don't make those adjustments on a yearly basis, it gets really expensive all at one time. So we try to make small-scale additions to assure that we're not making large-scale additions later on in the future because vehicles can get really expensive. So those were two of the items that we had on the consent agenda. I guess three of the items we had on the consent agenda, but it was fairly standard business as usual last night.
Get to the regular agenda and an update regarding the sports complex.
Things are moving fast. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people have had a chance to see what's going on out at the sports complex site right now, but you can see the foundation has been poured for the concession building. If you look, you can see those poles that are standing up out there. Those are actually the fence poles that are being set into place. Drainage is being accounted for. There's drainage that's going to circulate from the exterior of each of the fields, and then it'll lead out into a larger drainage facility outside of the complex, and then into our drainage channels that we have planned. And we worked with Miller and Associates, and we worked with Mammoth to make sure that everything corresponded the way that they were supposed to with one another. I was just amazed. I went out to the parking lot, and they had that thing packed down about as tight as you possibly can. They've been out there just rolling and rolling and rolling, trying to make sure that it's ready to go. We're going to go ahead and gravel it to begin with. And you always get a little worried at first. Is it going to get messy or whatnot? But the way that they've compacted that, I think it's going to be in really good shape. The first two fields that are really starting to take shape are the northeast and southeast fields at the fourplex. And then they'll continue to work forward on the fourplex and get the west fields completed. If you go out there, you can see that the championship fields are starting to take shape. Also, the soccer fields are starting to take shape as well, too. think you're going to start seeing the rolling of the artificial turf here probably within a month. It got moved back a little bit just because of all the rain that we've had. I know that that's been a challenge that they've had to work through. But Eric Munholland from Mammoth was here last Wednesday or Thursday. He kind of gave us a tour of everything. It's really pretty cool to see. We expect this just to keep on moving as rapidly as possible. It's amazing how fast those guys work. And then we're just working on grants. We were excited to host the Doherty Foundation. I think it was a CFO and might have been the director. Here a week or two ago now, I got a chance to show them the project and kind of give them the history of McCook's sporting fields. Talked about, you know, how the practice fields have been moved around from spot to spot. When I was a kid, when you were a kid, Rich, we played out of Valmont. And then after Valmont was constructed, we had a lease with a local farmer, and that was a great relationship. That was a 20-year lease, but when that expired, we moved to another location along the highway, and that got developed. And then now we've got some backstops over at North Point, and that's getting developed. And you look at the duplexes over on the reservation. You know, they used to have a backstop over there. That's been developed. So all the practice areas and practice fields that we have, you know, it's gotten kind of eaten up. And that was always, you know, in the back of our mind when we were talking about this new facility, you know. We need to have a space that's dedicated specifically to sports complex and to practicing and whatnot, because we've just been moved from spot to spot to spot because we had nowhere else to go, you know, and neither did developers. If developers wanted to come to McCook, you know, they were limited in area where they could actually put up their buildings or their businesses. So this is going to give us an opportunity. But we showed that to the Doherty Foundation people, and I think that was kind of an eye-opener as we kind of told them the story, because that's all within 20 to 25 years that that's occurred. And it just a great conversation in general. Had a good conversation with the McCook Community Foundation, just kind of told them, you know, what our plan is moving forward. I really appreciated the opportunity to speak with them. We're working on grants left and right. I know we're getting a Huerman grant in. You know, we're looking at some state grants. We're sitting right around $12.66 million that we've either got fundraised or through grants or through the local option sales tax, and we're getting closer to that guaranteed maximum price number of $16.9 million. And there are some other things, too, that we are looking at, whether it's you know, naming rights or whatever that we could use to get to that number. So we're getting pretty close.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm sure those guys are holding out hope that winter stays away for a while. I mean, it's only October, don't get me wrong, but you know, they're thinking about November, December, January, February especially. What could it be like?
I'm sure that probably at first, I mean, they were like, geez, it never rains in McCook. They called the dirt out there at the Walters property moon dust because it was just so fine, you know, and just dry as a bone this spring and even into early summer. And then I don't know what's gone on. It's just so weird. It's almost like the monsoon season has hit us, and now you start getting these crazy heavy rains when you don't expect it. So it slowed them down a little bit, but I tell you what, I go out there probably every other day just to kind of watch them a little bit, and I just can't believe how fast they move. I mean, and they all know their spots and their positions. Mm-hmm. They all know what their roles are, and they do it extremely well.
Were they out there when the big hailstorm hit? I'm sure they were.
I think that they had left before. Yes. Right. I mean, they were there that day, but they got out before. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, all their equipment got hailed out and whatnot. So, I mean, I think they were just in the same boat as the rest of us. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot you could have done.
Yeah.
But
good reports from out there. Good reports.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, and I think, you know, we're going to try to set something up through the chamber as far as an event so people can come out and take a look at it, because you truly can't appreciate the size of this until you go out there and stand in the middle and just kind of look around. The best comparison I could make is, you know, the Kelly Park in total is around 30 acres. This is 40 acres. Mm-hmm. And so if you stand, I was standing there with Ron Maris the other day, just kind of looking at the new inclusive playground area. and looking to the north. And when you think about what 30 acres is and how vast Kelly Park seems, and then you think, well, that's 10 acres less than what we're going to be using for space for the sports complex. It really does, you know, it's a large area. So Kevin Sebrant was out there, and he said he's going to be the most in-shape man in McCook because he's going to have to run back and forth between fields over on the east side, back over to the shop, and then to the north. And I told him, I said, well, we'll have to figure something out so that way we don't cause any permanent damage to your legs or heart or anything like that. So, but, yeah, it's really moving forward fast. And looking forward for this project to be completed.
Pretty exciting, isn't it, Mayor?
It's very exciting. And I think the people in McCook just need to think about what this is going to do for our community in Southwest Nebraska. You take all of the sporting events that will be able to be held out there, and the people will be able to come and enjoy our community. And we've got a lot going on with the all-inclusive playground getting done now. It is a fun community to come to with the new swimming pool. There's lots going on.
You bet. You betcha. All right, next up. The second of three readings. First of all, solid waste collection fees. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. And this is on the second reading of the ordinance.
Okay.
And there were some adjustments this year. A couple of the big, reasons for the adjustment. Our contract with JBRJ is going to go up, which I think it was a 3% increase in total that we were going to have to account for. Then also the state of Nebraska assesses a fee for each of the ton that's deposited in the landfill. And it has been increased by the state of Nebraska from $1.25 per ton to $2.34 per ton, which is a fairly substantial increase. And then also Perkins County has implemented a $1 per ton hosting fee. And so taking all those things together, those all get put back onto the city of McCook. And so that's the main reason why we had to adjust the rates up.
All right. So one more reading with that.
One more reading with that.
All right. We're all ready to count the comments already, aren't we?
We had no comments last night, and we were ready to adjourn an early meeting.
You ain't kidding. This was a fast meeting, huh?
Yeah, I think we were done a little bit after 6 o'clock. It was like 6:05, I think, when we finished up. So that might have been the shortest meeting we've had in months. I can't remember the last time we had a meeting.
You got home to watch all the football game, didn't you?
if
you had time.
No, actually, I kind of hung out with Abby. She's working on some college stuff now, so I told her I'd help her out with that.
Trying to
motivate her. That's always a hard thing to do with kids at that age. But
I had somebody ask if I could bring this up.
Sure.
The latest with Car Park.
At this point in time, it remains closed. Okay. We're looking at different options. I actually, so our city attorney has drafted an initial draft of an ordinance to help us address individuals that are not authorized to sleep in public spaces. And it's really touchy. I got to use the right wording here because it's got to be very neutral. It's got to be a neutral ordinance. So that way we're not specifying certain kinds of situations. But, you know, our plan is to go ahead and finalize an ordinance and get that over to the council. The one thing that we've been talking about is, do we make this a pay park? Do you make it so that way if you're going to stay there, you have to go ahead and check in with a credit card or something like that? And then how do you enforce that? You know, and so it gets really tricky because we can't have people on site all the time. And obviously it's not a moneymaker for us. It can take a lot of manpower to deal with some of the issues that we've been dealing with down there, dealing with some of the people that have been staying down there that have made it kind of a, you know, not the best place for us to welcome visitors. And so we want to make sure that the ordinance is worded properly. There's a Supreme Court case that gives us the authority to do this, but we got to make sure that we follow the language in the Supreme Court case to a T, because I don't want us to get challenged and have our ordinance determined to be unconstitutional. And so again, a lot of things that we do behind the scenes that people don't see us working on or doing, but we do do our best to make sure that we're accounting for all the different possibilities. We want Car Park to be open as well, too. But if it's not going to be a safe spot for people to be, it probably shouldn't be open. And so until we can assure some safety, we want to, you know, take our time and do things the right way.
All right. Next regular city council meeting on the 20th.
Yes, that sounds right.
Anything Planning Commission?
Planning Commission on Monday.
The 13th.
Yeah, so we've got a couple of special exception requests, and then we're still working through the zoning stuff. That's what we did yesterday. We worked on the highway commercial zone, and then we started looking through the industrial zones. And those are kind of tricky just because There are a lot of performance factors that you have to take into consideration when you're talking about industrial type activities, and so we're going to take that back to the Planning Commission, maybe not in a suggestion form, but just to get their opinion on, do we go with really specific language or do we leave it so that way we've got a set of criteria that we can follow that's broad but does not specifically limit anything. And so that's kind of what we're working on right now. There's just a lot that goes into the zoning stuff. So.